following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, and welcome to Inauguration Week. Yeah! It's not only Inauguration Week. Today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So it's a good day. And honestly, this is the week that we have been waiting 4 years to arrive. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be sworn in Wednesday as President and Vice President of the United States of America, meaning it's the end of Donald Trump's reign of lies and gaslighting, bigotry and ugliness, fear and loathing and even terror. I'm already encouraged by some intangible things, attitudes, plans, ideology, but there's something else really important that's been missing from the White House for the last 4 years. And we may not have noticed it with each passing day, but looking back on the last 4 years and comparing it to the 8 years before and the many years before that, there was one thing that this White House never embraced, and that's music. Think about it. During the Obama years, the White House hosted so many amazing musical performances. Artists and the art they created were revered, respected, and often spotlighted. There's a wonderful archive at obamawhitehouse.archives.gov/performances that shows the diversity of artists and styles of music they embraced. I mean, I can just go through it. And it scrolls forever, and it's separated into Memphis Soul. And there's Alabama Shakes and Eddie Floyd and Cyndi Lauper with Charlie Musselwhite and Mavis Staples and Sam Moore, Booker T. And then the next segment is the Gershwin Prize for Burt Bacharach. And Burt Bacharach was there, and artists from Arturo Sandoval and Stevie Wonder to Diana Krall to Sheryl Crow and Lyle Lovett all performing those songs to Red, White, and Blues. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I encourage you, there's video of all of these performances. Again, it's obamawhitehouse.archives.gov/performances, and it's brilliant. But over the last 4 years, the White House, think about it, it's been completely devoid of art, music, and frankly, culture. And that's not just my opinion. I went looking for a list of any music that emanated from the White House in the last 4 years, and I couldn't find anything. What I did find is a June 2018 New York Times op-ed by a guy named Dave Eggers, and the headline was, "A Cultural Vacuum in Trump's White House Concurs." And here's a little bit of what Dave Eggers wrote. "This White House has been and is likely to remain home to the first presidency in American history that is almost completely devoid of culture. In the 17 months that Trump has been in office, he has hosted only a few artists of any kind. One was the gun fetishist Ted Nugent. Another was Kid Rock. They went together, and with Sarah Palin, neither performed. Since its inauguration in January 2017, there have been no official concerts at the White House. The Reagans had one every few weeks. No poetry readings. The Obamas regularly celebrated young poets. The Carters began a televised series in performance at the White House, which last aired in 2016, where artists as varied as Mikhail Baryshnikov and Patricia McBride performed in the East Room. The Clintons continued the series with Aretha Franklin, B.B. King, Alison Krauss, and Linda Ronstadt. But aside from occasional performances by the president's own United States Marine Band, the White House is now virtually free of music. Never have we had a president not just indifferent to the arts, but actively oppositional to artists. Mr. Trump disparaged the play Hamilton and a few weeks later attacked Meryl Streep. He has said he doesn't have time to read books. Quote, I read passages, I read areas, I read chapters. outside of recommending books by his acolytes, Mr. Trump has tweeted about only one work of literature since the beginning of his presidency, Michael Wolff's Fire and Fury. It was not an endorsement. So that's some of this op-ed about the lack of arts and culture in the Trump White House. So I was thrilled when I read that the first official event in this week's inauguration festivities featured, it was the virtual We the People concert. It was held last night. It featured Ben Harper, Carole King, James Taylor, among others. And if you're wondering, here's a taste of JT. This is really pretty. Should have queued in a little bit so you could hear the song.
Oh, beautiful, for spacious sky, for amber waves of green, for purple mountain majesty.
I was thrilled to bring you to today that the first official event in this week's inauguration festivities, the virtual We the People concert, was held last night. It featured Ben Harper, Carole King, James Taylor. You just heard a little taste of James Taylor singing America the Beautiful, right? And others. And then tomorrow, Wednesday night, the night of the inauguration, instead of the traditional high-priced tickets for in-person super spreader events and inaugural balls, the Bidens will join host Tom Hanks for an inauguration night TV and live streaming special. So far, Lady Gaga is scheduled, Hamilton creator Lin-Manuel Miranda, Bruce Springsteen, John Legend, Justin Timberlake, John Bon Jovi, Foo Fighters, and the list goes on. And then today, we learned about a performance that's going to happen on Wednesday at the virtual Parade Across America. That's part of the inauguration festivities following the swearing-in ceremony. It'll happen sometime between, I think, like 3 and 5 Eastern in the afternoon. So before I come on the air, which will be good, because here's what we learned today. That a band called New Radicals will reunite after 22 years to perform the song You Get What You Give. Now, this is significant for a few reasons. Greg Alexander really was New Radicals. He retired from performing in 1999, shortly after that album was released, because he really hated the trappings of celebrity. He hated the spotlight. So he's continued writing songs and producing, but out of the spotlight. I'm fortunate to have been a big supporter when it came out. I'm a big fan. I got what proves now to be a very rare interview and performance from him that I'll share with you sometime soon. But back to today, this is the song I'm talking about. And I know you'll recognize it when you hear it. Remember this? Okay, so you remember the song. That's You Get What You Give from New Radicals. So why is this significant that it's going to be Greg Alexander coming out of retirement to perform that song Wednesday in the virtual parade? Well, it's not only one of my favorite songs. It's also the song that the soon-to-be second gentleman, Kamala Harris's husband, Doug Emhoff, chose for his walk-on music. But it's also special to the Biden family. At Beau Biden's funeral, Ashley Biden brought up the song, which talked about these breakfasts she would have with her brother.
During our breakfast, he would often make me listen to what I thought was his theme song, you get what you give by the free radicals.
No, new radicals.
Even though Bo never stopped fighting and his will to live was stronger than most, I think he knew that this day might come. The words to the song are, this whole damn world could fall apart. You'll be okay. Follow your heart. You're in harm's way. I'm right behind. In retrospect, I think Bo played that song during our mornings together, not for him, but for me. To remember to not give up or let sadness consume me, consume us.
So that was Ashley Biden at her brother's funeral. And now the song's still obviously meaningful to the family, as it is to me. And so that will be performed Wednesday as part of the inaugural celebration, which is very cool. Joe Biden also wrote about the song in his autobiography called Promise Me Dad. And he wrote, you know, even though Bo never stopped fighting and his will to live was stronger than most, I think he knew that this day might come. Oh, that's actually, he quoted Ashley in the book. Today is also Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And I picked out a quote that's on the front cover, the cover for today's show, where Martin Luther King said, music is the best consolation for a despaired man. So today, I invited two artists on the program. They've both been on with me before, so maybe you'll recognize Lily Hayden and Marvin Etzioni. And they are, they're joining me today. Both of them have new music out. Both of them also have songs that deal with the times we're living in, as fucked up as they are, and the hope that things will get better, and it's sort of a prescription for things to get better. And each brings us a song dealing with Martin Luther King Jr. as well. So we start with, again, Lily Hayden and Marvin Etzioni. And I ask Lily about the new album she has coming out. It's called
More Love, which is actually the name of the title song that Marvin and I wrote together quite a few years ago, but it was just, you know, as with most things that are special, they need the right time to come out. And this time is, if I could say, there really couldn't be two better words to describe what's needed right now, and that's more love. And it's such a blessing, because that's one of the best songs Marvin and I ever wrote together. And I've had the pleasure of writing with him on many occasions, and I can't wait to hear his new album. So
we're going to get to that. So that brings us to Marvin Etzioni, friend of the show, who's been on. We did a couple of 2 or 3 weeks together right when the new record came out. And the new record from Marvin Etzioni is...
What's the mood of the country now?
What's the mood of the country now? And again, tell the story of how this came about, because it was definitely inspired by what we're living through at the moment.
I've been working on the record on and off for, I don't know, 2-3 decades, you know, and the title track, What's the Mood of the Country Now, I actually wrote 2 days after 9/11. And so I kept waiting until kind of the right moment to put it all together. And then I was in the studio, I'll never forget it, Friday, March 13th. I'll never forget, it was a Friday the 13th. I was in the studio and I said to the engineer, you know, why don't we put together, you know, maybe 15 songs from this album, and I'll start assembling it, and, you know, we'll do final overdubs. And then Sunday was the lockdown in California, and we canceled all the sessions, and I finished the album COVID. And I said, you know, we got to put this album out before the election. And so that's how it happened. What's interesting about the record is that a lot of the record was not written as a reaction to what is going on right now. It just happens to fit what is going on. So
that it does. And it's interesting because you listen to it and it could have been written for right now. It certainly works with the mood of the country right now. So why don't we do that? We've got Lily Hayden with us. We've got Marvin Etzioni. We are going to listen to songs from both of these new records and a couple of new projects that Marvin has as well. But we'll start with the title track of Marvin's latest, What's the Mood of the Country Now?
What's the mood of the country now? What's the mood of the country now? No matter what in the world I hear, an eye for an eye makes everyone blind. What's the mood of the country now? What's the mood of the country now? Day after day in a star-spangled haze. Can you show me the way? What's the mood of the country now? What's the mood of the country now? Don't take candy from no stranger.
Marvin, oh, little extra Marvin there. Marvin Etzioni, what's the mood of the country now? You wrote that right after 9/11, but it could have so easily been written now. Totally different times we were living through, but there we are. So,
the question is still a good one.
It is.
And I love that.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Lily Hayden and Marvin Etzion. So how do you guys know each other? When did you first start working together?
Well, Marvin, do you want to answer that?
Well, I was just going to say real quick that I was good friends with Lily's father in the late 70s.
Wow.
Before I knew Lily. So when we started working together, all of a sudden I realized that David Jove was her father, and her father was one of the most innovative music directors. He had a show called New Wave Theater, which preceded a lot of the music shows that we were kind of used to, MTV and all of that. Really forward thinking person. And he recorded a lot of bands before they were ever recorded.
X and Dead Kennedys.
Really?
And my dad actually was sort of responsible for the short attention span, super coked up, fast editing. And he took, he actually claimed that he was responsible for the current usage of the word whatever. said, and before me, nobody ever said whatever except to say whatever you like or whatever you please. I'm the one who said, yeah, whatever.
That's a good invitation of your dad, by the way.
Wow. That's very good. So you knew her sort of.
But I didn't know her at all back then.
No.
I didn't know her at all. It wasn't until years later, after we started working together on songs, then it was like, oh my God, your dad is David Jove. It's like,
I don't mean to correct you.
Yeah, her memory is going to be a lot better than mine, I'll guarantee you.
Well, as I recall, mine has impressions. as I recall, I was at a place creatively where I really needed to, I just needed to find a collaborator who really understood me, who could push me, who could just force me to grow. And I was really praying for this. And then we were, it was like a New Year's Eve gala that we both ended up performing for an organization called Children Uniting Nations, I believe. And he walked by and we knew each other from around because I had been on the scene a bit. And we said hello. And then he reminded me that we had this connection. Oh. And I said, I think we should work together.
You're right.
And I think we should work together. And I just knew something special was going to occur. And that was also the night that my now husband told me that he loved me for the first time.
Aww.
And he was performing with me also. And he's the monster bass on Sayonara.
Great bass player.
Yeah. His name is Itai Disraeli, and he's a brilliant musician and has his own band called Metar. And we have a band together called Opium Moon. And
for which, who won a Grammy.
Won a Grammy. And so it's a good, it's all a very magical, you know.
If I remember right, you and I had showed up early that day.
Right.
For a sound check. We were like the only two people there. And all of a sudden we just started talking, and it was great. We ended up writing some songs together, and one of them was More Love that you talked about.
Right. So let's talk about More Love, because that's the title track of Lily's forthcoming album, which will be released in March. But this is not a new song. You wrote this one.
This was the last song that I wrote in my old house, where pesticides ran me out of town, basically. I did a TED talk about it where actually there's pesticides in 30 to 60 million homes in America that were meant to prevent termites, but they didn't have any real regulations about it. And the parent company is Chevron. Yeah. And they, so there's no class action lawsuits have ever been successful because of the powers that be, but it actually causes brain damage and a whole host of grave mortal injuries. And I was one of the very few lucky ones who recovered from it because music saved my brain. And you can find that TED talk, How Music Saved My Brain, or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, so that was the last song that we wrote in my old house. And it's actually poignant because what was at stake there was literally the ability to breathe. And I think that as we're all experiencing this global pandemic, which is which is contagious by breath, which affects the lungs. And I had COVID, by the way. I don't know if I told you that.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got COVID. It was a fairly mild case, but I had a couple nights where I couldn't breathe.
Oh, God.
And
I got
a taste of what it was, what it's like for people. And it's like somebody's pressing on your rib cage, like literally keeping you from being able to. And it became all the more poignant. The lyric is broken boy, broken girl, broken hearts for a broken world. Take me as I am tonight, grateful just to be alive.
Wow.
Life is a miracle, can't you see? More love, more light. Darkness don't stand a chance against us.
Well, I think we need to hear it. The song is More Love. It's the title track from Lily Hayden's forthcoming album, More Love, to be released in March, co-written with Marvin Etzioni. Here we go.
A broken
is beautiful. Lily Hayden, More Love, a song co-written with Marvin Etzioni. So, Marvin, that's the first time you heard it produced and finished, yes?
This version, you
it's
know.
Not many other versions.
Yeah, but that's great. And you got to let me know when you're going to play that one on the Tonight Show, okay?
Thank you.
Am I right or am I right?
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
We'll see. We'll talk about this after. Maybe we can, because okay. I have a couple of video ideas. And,
okay.
But actually, part of the reason that I felt so strongly about putting it on this album at this time is that, and especially with the simplicity of these lyrics, just the straightforward, straight to the heart lyrics, is that there is no issue in the world and with all of the issues that we are dealing with for which more love and understanding is not the answer.
Very well said. I can't add anything to that. And that's what we need. I mean, at this point in history, look, we are sitting here. The inauguration comes on Wednesday. We can't be rid of Donald Trump soon enough. We just witnessed something that I never thought in my lifetime I'd see, which is a siege on the Capitol building where armed insurrectionists wanted not only to overthrow the government, but the more we learn, the more it seems like they wanted to kill a number of members of Congress. It's just astounding. So yes, we do need more love. We need compassion. We need a complete reset of the mindset of this country.
So yeah. Hey, Lily, I just want to let you know, and I don't want to start, you know, getting teary-eyed about it, but Call me later, tomorrow, whatever, and whatever support you need on getting this song out. This isn't just a song. This isn't just another single out there in the world. And you know me, if I didn't feel that, you know, I wouldn't be saying it. And that's the kind of relationship we have where she can be straight with me, I'm straight with her. I'm always, you know, that's just how it is. But I so believe in you know, this record she just made. People need to hear. We got to get the word out about it. It's time has come for it.
Thank you. Likewise, Marvin, I love your record.
And thank you.
We're family.
Yes.
When we were in touch, Nicole, because, you know, we've been in touch, you know, you've been supportive of the album, so, you know, some weeks ago. And, you know, I don't know. I was curious how you guys met. What was the connection? Because Nicole and I have met what? In 19 blah 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 blah.
Early 90s, in the 90s, probably during the KSCA days. And that's when I met Lily as well. I believe I met Lily through Angela McCluskey and the Wild Colonials. Didn't everybody meet everybody through Angela McCluskey? The Wild Colonials.
Right. Okay.
She was my social director.
We all go back a long ways, yeah. And I would really like to think that at this point, there's no time to waste in what we're doing. And we're all here. This isn't just about promoting a record or promoting an artist. This is about promoting being a part of something bigger than ourselves. And I'm just so glad to be with both of you today. I really mean that.
Oh, well, me too. And I'm thrilled that you guys are here. Well, let's get on to today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And Marvin, you have another project. You've been quite prolific. We have What's the Mood of the Country Now, which you just released, a month or so ago?
Yeah, correct.
And now you put out two new songs from two different projects. We should mention you've also recently formed your own record label, Regional Records is you, right?
That's correct, yeah. So right when COVID hit, prior to that, I was in touch with a friend of mine, Bob Duskus, who Lily knows. And so Bob and I were in touch. I've been playing him new songs that I had written. And so when COVID hit that week, when we had the lockdown, I said, Bob, let's finally do it now. All the record stores are closed. Yeah. The world is caving in. No, and everyone is in panic mode. And I was like, all right, let's build something from the ground up. And so he said, all right, let's do it. So it's a digital-only label because when we started in March, started talking in March, everything was shut down. So we let's go digital, and the world is open digitally. So that's the basis for Regional Records right now.
Very cool. Well, one project you have, and it fits for today. In fact, we're going to do something from each of you dealing with this holiday.
All right.
And tell us about the Holy Brothers.
So the Holy Brothers is myself and my Holy Brother, Willie Aaron. And Willie Aaron and I have been friends for over 40 years. And Willie was in a band called The Balancing Act. And Willie has worked with Victoria Williams and Ricky Lee Jones and Leonard Cohen, all sorts of incredible people over the years, and is an incredible collaborator. And really, the concept is somewhere between, you know, Simon and Garfunkel and The Who, where I kind of see the Holy Brothers, even though I write the songs, that it's really Willie's band. He chooses, if he doesn't like a song, he goes, it's a good song, but I think you should leave it for your solo project. And in fact, that's what happened with the song Love Letter to Democracy. We were in the studio, I recorded it, and I said, do you want this to be a Holy Brothers record? He goes, no, it sounds good as a solo record. So he'll give me that kind of objectivity that I'm really grateful for. So we put out our debut album is called My Name is Sparkle. And it's actually a play, a two-act play about a character named Sparkle, who's androgynous, and he's on a quest looking for God. And in the storyline, he ends up going to Jerusalem looking for God, and he finds Elvis. and so My Name is Sparkle is available as an album. And then we released a single called Lift You Up. And I want to give credit to our director, Frederick, who directed the video. It was his idea for Willie and I to do the song. What happened was I wrote the song about 8 years ago, and I had sent it to Frederick because I've known him that long. And it just happened to randomly come up while he was listening to music. He called Willie, says, I think this song should be a Holy Brothers song. It was going to be on my album, What's the Mood of the Country Now? But I have so many songs that I said, okay, I'll pull that off. I put something else on, no problem. And then Frederick had the idea to have Stefan Ferguson as the voice of Martin Luther King. So we brought, so they recorded that, the voice of Stefan doing MLK. They did that recording in Atlanta, and then they sent us the recordings, and then we mixed it and put it together. So, and we're working on our second album as well. Actually, the Sparkle character, it's going to be a trilogy of three albums. We're already working on the second one. And I write a lot of songs. Lily knows that. So, you know,
he could write one right now while we're on this call. He could write a song by himself now, and it would be
no problem.
Brilliant.
Well, we're going to listen now to Lift You Up, and we're going to play the video for those watching a video feed. Anything you want to say? Well, you just explained who's on it.
Well, I was just going to say it's the Holy Brothers, me and Willie Aaron, and then Frederick is from Tomorrow Pictures, and he directed the video, and it's David Leitch on percussion, and Trevor Lawrence Jr. did this clap track on it, and Willie's playing the pianos, and I'm doing guitar, and it's a track that It wasn't, again, you know, it wasn't written for today's holiday of MLK. It just worked out that way. When we cut his vocal doing the MLK voice, I had no idea this would ever air on MLK Day. We just did it because it was an inspired idea. It's like, wow, that sounds great. Let's do that. So check it out. Enjoy it.
Here we go. Lift You Up, the Holy Brothers.
Every single word that you say, and every single turn that you take, can have a positive effect on what will happen in this world, in this life.
Yeah. The miracle of change lies within your heart.
The miracle of change lies within your heart. I want to lift you up. I want to lift you up. I want to lift you up. I want to lift you up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was right. Awesome. The Holy Brothers lift you up.
Great. Great.
Thank you. All right. You know, one of the shots, you know, Frederick put that video together. It's just a coincidence that there's a shot of MLK with a guy named Abraham Heschel. And this is him right here. He has many books out, The Prophets. I asked for one. He's a big inspiration to me. It just happened. I was like, oh, my God, there's Heschel. He's like one of my favorite spiritual writers, a very important 20th century figure. And him and MLK were very tight. And in fact, this morning, I just received an email from the Thich Nhat Hanh Foundation. And there's a picture of MLK and Thich Nhat Hanh together. And Thich Nhat Hanh, in the 60s, a year before MLK was assassinated, had got together, and they were talking about building strong communities together. Thich Nhat Hanh was a big influence on MLK in terms of being against the Vietnam War because of Thich Nhat Hanh being from that area. Yeah. So, and Martin Luther King, I think, is arguably, I would say, in the top four people of the 20th century, you know, in terms of his magnitude, and him as a writer, a speechwriter, talk about timeless writing, you know, that, you know, you could read his words anytime, any day, any year. And I think he was a real prophet. And I think that's where he connected to Heschel, because he talks about the prophets. And that was really important to MLK was to he was a modern prophet for our time. And that's why it'll be 50 years, 100 years, 200 years later, people will still be reading the words of MLK because of his ability to tap into prophecy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, Lily Hayden, last time you were on, we actually played this, but because it is Martin Luther King Day, I wanted to do it again because this is such a powerful moment. But I want you to tell us the story behind your TED Talk and the song, I Am a Man.
Thanks. Yeah, I was asked to perform for the Civil Rights Museum, and I saw this film that was being that was nominated for an Academy Award, in which they had these iconic signs, I Am a Man, that the sanitation workers wore when they marched with MLK before he was killed. And by the way, just to speak to Marvin's point, Abraham Joshua Heschel, who Martin Luther King was pictured there with, and Marvin was talking about, he was a great Jewish philosopher, and MLK was supposed to be at his Passover Seder right before he was killed.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah, that's heartbreaking.
They were dear friends, and what struck me when I saw those I Am a Man signs, what I learned was that the sanitation workers had been treated abominably, not like human beings. And one sanitation worker was killed. He was crushed by a garbage truck, and there were no reparations. And that was just the straw that broke, you know, the back. And And everybody went on strike. And instead of wearing signs that said safe condition, safe for working conditions or higher wages or any of those things, they simply said, I am a man. And to me, that was the most succinct, pithy statement that just represented what we're all saying, is, which is that I deserve to be treated with respect. And and it seemed like it was applicable for every movement and for every, you know, we should, that this should be the benchmark for all of us. And it just, I was so struck by it, that just, I am a man. It just became like this little spiritual and a cry for peace. And so it was always my dream to do this song with a multicultural choir. And so when I was asked to perform for the TED Foundation, I told them I wanted to assemble this choir. And so we got young and old and black and white and Latino and Native American and LGBTQ and handicapped people or I don't have all the right, the you know, wide pronouns correct, everybody. I'm sure, but I've been scoring films for the last 10 years or so, and I scored a documentary about Anita Hill. Mm. Anita said that sexual harassment is not about sex, it's about power. And what I realized is that every single issue that we're dealing with is about power. It's about domination. One person asserting their will over another person who they deem to be less significant, less important, less powerful than they are. And so what I realized is that the domination paradigm, even when you're dealing with somebody who's got no compassion and who is an oppressor, most of human history has been an oppressor being ousted by somebody who then takes over and oppresses, then takes over as the role of oppressor. And that is just self-perpetuated. That is perpetuated by the domination paradigm, which is essentially every time we have a war on something, and we have we're essentially perpetuating the oppression that we say that we're fighting against. And so I realized that I am a man simply says I deserve respect. And then I do this TED talk about it, and this is the song.
All right. It's Lily Hayden, TED Talk, and her performance of I Am a Man.
Thank you.
Wow. Lily Hayden and a choir of many, many, many. That was just, that was gorgeous.
Thank you.
Just magnificent. I am a man. It is Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Our guests are Lily Hayden and Marvin Etzioni. It's so cool to have both of you here, knowing that, you know, your history together, and both of you are, there's a synergistic thing going on here. Again, with the Holy Brothers and this tune. And we've got a couple more we're going to play from each of you. Marvin Etzioni, again, you have the album out, What's the Mood of the Country Now? But we mentioned you have these two other projects, the Holy Brothers, and then this song that you mentioned a little earlier, which is, I think, important for the week that is upon us now. Love Letter to Democracy. What do you want to tell us about this song?
I wrote the song last year, and then at the end of last year, I thought, you know, I should record it. I was going to include it on the album, but it would have postponed the release date. And so sometimes, you know what it's like, Lee. Lily, you know, sometimes you just got to let it go. You know, there's a great line by a Picasso where he says, "You don't finish a work of art, you abandon it." So. By the time November, December came around, I booked a session at Village when things were still a little bit more open. And so I went in and I recorded a Univox drum machine that I had just purchased, and I recorded it on cassette. And I'm glad I did, because the drum machine broke immediately afterwards. So I had to use the cassette recording of the drum machine. So it's drum machine and piano and vocal, and that's what you're hearing. I started writing the song before the election, and it was an optimistic song about change and an optimistic song about democracy. I mean, little did I know of the events that were going to transpire in the months to come when I started writing the song. But so like yourself, you sense this connection that its time has come. So here we are, and this is my love letter to democracy.
All right, it's Marvin Etzioni.
Take two.
Remember the first time you saw Lady Liberty? Now she's on one knee for democracy, holding up the torch against tyranny for all the world to see. Democracy. I know it is imperfect, like a gospel harmony, but oh, what a symphony, democracy. What will become of you and your mountain majesties? I'll see you in my dreams, democracy. We were born to be pieces of humanity. Oh, how we believe in democracy. Remember the first time you saw Lady Liberty? Now she's standing tall, mighty tall, for democracy.
Love Letter to Democracy. That's beautiful, Marvin. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Beautiful. All right, we've got time for one more, and we've saved Lily's, well, it's not the premiere, because it premiered online just a couple of days ago, but the first single from the forthcoming album, Well, Lily, what do you want to tell us about Sayonara?
I guess the thing that over the last 4 years, it's just been like every single day, it's been a war of attrition. It's just, you know, at first I started out so depressed. I just didn't even know. I couldn't write songs because I didn't know, like, words had lost their meaning. I ended up, that was actually the birth of Opium Moon, which was a band that has some vocals but no lyrics, because it was just, I just thought, all right, I just have to step back and see how this plays out, because but it's just been one day after another of enough is enough already. Enough is enough is enough. And then and as I was scoring films, you know, I'd like go to the piano and play these kind of ominous chords and like, just like, enough is enough is enough is enough of the suffering. No more war. I don't care what you say you're fighting for. And I say, sayonara to the drama. I don't want to play that game. Sayonara to the dogma. Nobody was born to hate. All I want to do is love ya. I'm laying down my arms today. Not another. Not another, not another in my name. And so it came from that. And then the bridge is, and our better angels, my better angels, our better angels, your break is over.
That's great. And tell us about the video, because we're gonna play this out, as they say. The first part of the song, and you can almost hear, I guess, where the single is, and then the album version continues as the video continues. And tell everyone what they'll see on this video.
I sent this to my dear friend Norton Wisdom, brilliant painter, who with whom I've performed for 2 decades, actually. Mm. And he's like a jazz painter. He hears something and then he creates something on the spot that just that is inspired, and then he takes a picture of it and then erases it, and it just keeps morphing and developing into something. And then he paints on this 14-foot transparent backlit screen, and we've done this live many, many times, but especially in the time of COVID, he's been filming himself doing it. And I told him what the song was about, and he and I are on the same page in terms of wanting to make our art a healing force. Mm-hmm. And he painted what I was singing and playing about, and it just seemed like a perfect match, and I didn't need to be in there. It just needed to be the essence of the emotion. And that's where Marvin and I connect as well, and where we connect with you, Nicole. Thank you so much for your beautiful show, where you shine a light.
Thank you, Nicole.
On all things, you know, justice oriented and human spirit. And you've always been this way, and we really appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Lily Hayden, Marvin Etzioni, you guys are awesome. What a great way to spend this Monday, the final Monday before we're rid of Donald Trump. Also, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Things are going to get better. We've got to believe it, and we've got to put that energy out there. Now we've surmounted this horrible 4-year plague. We still have one plague, but we're dealing with that one. But on to better things. Lily, Marvin, thank you so much. To everyone listening, we'll leave you with Lily Hayden, the first single from her forthcoming album, More Love. This one's called Sayonara. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
better angels. Your break is over. Our better angels. My better angels. Our better angels. Your break is over. Nobody was born to hate.